Ephesians chapter 6, and the title of the message this morning is, What About the Children? Some of you may be wondering what I'm talking about here. This morning I'm going to be preaching from Ephesians 6 and various other passages, but the thing that I'm going to do that's a bit different is that I'm going to be preaching more to the children than to the adults this morning. Truth is I think that I and others sometimes forget from time to time that although some of the children have not yet become communicant members in the church, and I'm glad that I've got a good bunch of them over there. Maybe I should move the other children over to this side here so I can look at you all at one time. We forget that since they're not all communicant members of the church, they are still under the care of the session and the congregation as well. And sometimes they need to have the Word of God more clearly addressed to them. But we need to have the Word clearly addressed to them. And although in each sermon there should be some things they're getting out of it, there should be some times where things become more clear to them and are more pointed to them. I believe that we also forget that children, like adults, are sinners. We forget that they're sinners. We think that there's this age of accountability and there's nothing they need to do or worry about till then. And children, each one of you, and I want you to pay attention and watch me this morning, because I'm watching you. Each one of you is in need of the redemptive work of Christ in your life. Just because you're the child of a Christian doesn't mean that by osmosis or by being their child that you're automatically a Christian. Just means you're a child of a Christian. That you've been baptized into the church. You're not saved by baptism, though. You're saved only through the Word of God. And the children of the church have one really great advantage. The children who do not go to church are left without. You all, each one of you, Jesse and Madeline, Mark and Amelia and Josephine and all of you and Caitlin, you get to hear the Word of God every week. Every single week you get to hear. In fact, you get to hear it a couple times a week, because when we come together for prayer meetings, what do? We sing the Psalms together. So you not only hear it from me, you hear it from your own mouths at times. You hear yourself singing God's Word or proclaiming God's Word. But you also, like your parents, must learn to take it seriously. That the Word of God and the things of God and God Himself are not to be trifled with, are not to be messed around with and just played with. And that means that you too must learn to listen. So this morning I'm giving you a little more chance to listen. But I do not want you adults to feel left out. Like, oh, he's just going to preach to the children. So I have allowed enough of the message to speak as well to you and your responsibility here and in your instruction and in your working in the lives of the children. And even for those of you who are without children, I want to assure you that you too have a part to play in this as well. Because you also have a responsibility to the children, because you have taken vows to that when they become baptized in the church, and you make promises that you will be a part of their growth in their Christian lives. Now, when I say children, now we're getting into a weird thing. Well, what's that mean, children? Because we're all children of sorts. I'm talking about anyone from the age of 5 all the way up to 20. Okay, I've allowed some great things. No, I didn't include anybody in their late 20s in this one, or mid-20s. Just to 20 is where I cut the board. But this also pertains to each one of us in degree, in that we are all children of God. Now, I had a question I wanted to ask, because I know most of you pretty well, but I don't know any of you as well as I'd like to. How many of you are adopted children? Okay, I see two back there, and I see a few more here. Let me rephrase that question. How many of you are adopted children? You're all adopted children. That was not a trick question, by the way. You are all adopted into the family of God. You're sons and daughters of the living God, not by birth as Christ, but by adoption. I wanted to bring that up because that's important for us to understand this at times. And important for us to understand that process, and that is a real bringing in. That we are really children of God. And so as children of God, we are responsible to God. And children, that means those children that I'm talking to from 5 to 20, you are responsible to God. I want for each of you to know that the things that I'm talking about this morning are to make it clear to you that you also, as well as the adults, have a great responsibility in what God has set before you, to live the best that you're able in the calling that He has for you in your lives right now. And let me explain the word, because I know that some of them who are younger may not understand the word calling there. The word calling is it would pertain to you children as living under the care and authority of your parents first off, and being subject to them, and secondly, as it would pertain to your calling of education. You don't have jobs, most of you, some of you might, but your main calling in life right now is to learn, to grow and learn, but most especially in the things of God. One of the things that I was thinking about this week, since we had that young couple staying with us and spending so much time playing music, is every night before they would, as they would practice, they would do scales. How many of you kids do musical instruments at all? Raise your hands if you play any musical instrument at all. Keep it up so I can see. Okay. And how many of you have started to learn scales? Many of you learn scales at all? You've learned scales some? Okay. Are scales fun? Are they? For most people, scales may start out fun, but as you keep doing them again and again and again and again, they get rather boring. The thing is, though, people who are professional musicians, every time they sit down to practice, they will do scales. They may not do them for very long, but they do scales long enough just to remind their fingers of all the places they're supposed to go. When you learn how to do them well enough over time, you automatically learn music to a degree. And that, along with some other things, help you to be able to actually make music, or to make a joyful noise, as it would be. So I just wanted to bring that illustration in, because what you're doing in church week to week is kind of like learning scales. Sometimes it might get a little bit boring, and it shouldn't be, but sometimes it might be. Oh, we come in, Pastor John does this, then he does this reading, then we sing a song, then we sing this prayer, then we sing a song, then we do the law, then we sing a song, then we give away our money, then we sing a song, and then Pastor John gets up and he preaches to us for, oh, way too long at times. So sometimes church is like hearing the scales or playing the scales. But if you pay attention, you will actually learn something in a good amount of time. Ephesians 6. I'd like all you children that know how to read to turn to Ephesians 6. And I'm speaking to all the children who are 5 and over. I'm going to give you a minute to get over to Ephesians 6, because I want you to try to read along with me. Reading can be like that too for children. When you first start, it can be really tedious, and boring, and then all of a sudden you're reading and you're understanding and the words are flowing together, and next thing you know, you want to read a book. And then sometimes you want to write a book. Are you ready? Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Then it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I told you I wasn't going to leave you parents out of this completely, because there's your part. Now, you just keep there where you're at, though, in Ephesians. I want to read Colossians 3, verses 20 and 21, which is almost the same thing. And I want to read this because if Paul says the same thing to a whole bunch of different groups of people, this means it's actually important. And it's important universally, not just for one group, not just for the Ephesians, but for the Colossians and the Thessalonians and the Philippians and for the Americans. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, I have a whole bunch of more passages I want to go through, but I want to play with these for just a little bit. How many of you children want to please the Lord? Okay. How many of you children don't want to please the Lord? How many of you would just really not want to please the Lord besides Con? Everybody wants to please the Lord? Okay, I'm going to ask it again. How many of you children want to please the Lord and make God happy with what you do? Let me use that phrase. Okay. Just about everybody there. Okay. So what it says here then, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It's interesting that God didn't give a lot for you children to do. He didn't say, oh, do all these things and travel around the world. You have to go and tell all your friends about Jesus. All He tells you to do is to obey your parents in everything. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? In everything. That means that pretty much whatever your parents tell you to do, as long as it's not sinful, you're supposed to do it. And you're supposed to do it because God, in His wisdom, has given you these parents. And God, in His wisdom, has allowed you to have them to take care of you. How many of you children go out and work to pay the rent and pay for your food you eat? Nobody? Nobody's doing that yet? How many of you have your parents take care of everything you need? Okay. Who does? Which one of you children don't have your parents take care of everything you need? Anybody? Okay. It's all taken care of. You're to do this because God calls you to, because He has put you with these parents. And I want you to understand this because, again, we're all going back to school now, or you're all going back to school now. Part of your responsibility and your duty is to fiddle around in school and kind of get a decent grade if you can, right? No, I got people looking at me like I shouldn't have said that. No, your duty is to go to school because your parents are sending you there so you can learn, or they're teaching you at home, and that's school too, so you can learn. And you're supposed to do it the best you can, because that's your work. That's your job. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, is the first verse in Ephesians there. For this is right. honor your father and your mother. How many of you know what it means to honor your father and your mother? Okay, some people know, some people don't. I'm going to give you the short explanation. This is to live your lives in such a way as, or to act in such a way so that if other people see you, and they see you with your how you act, and then they see your parents, they will say to your parents, "You have wonderful children. You have wonderful children." And that is honoring to your father and your mother. It is also honoring to your father and your mother when you actually listen to them. And did you remember when we read the law, it says that we should obey our parents so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And it says the same thing here, that it may go well, that things will go good for you, and that you may live long in the land. Now we remember where he's talking here. He's not talking only to little children, but even to children who were of greater age. But specifically, the children. God had stuff to say to you guys, because He knows that you're all little sinners too. He knows that you all want to go and do your own things, that you all want to act your own way, that each one of you, when your parents say to you, "Do this," you automatically go, "Don't want to. Don't have to. Not going to." Well, there's a truth in this, and you may not want to, but you do have to, because God has told you to, and you should. The Bible talks about a man knowing what is right and saying, "I'm not going to do this," and then doing it, and says that that person is better than the one who just does it, and does it just out of ritual. That the one who said, "I'm not going to do this, I don't have to do this, but because I've been commanded to by my parents, and I know this is right, I will do it." I want to just touch on that last part of each of these passages, though, for a second, because it says fathers, and I want to add that fathers goes to fathers particularly, because they're the heads of the home. And I want to remind you, children, I had somebody tell me this week that daddy's in charge of mommy, and then mommy's in charge of the children, and then the children are in charge of the babies. And I had to quickly say that that's not the case. Daddies are in charge of everybody. That is the way the Word of God sets it up, and God has said it. Dads are the head of the homes. They're in charge of mummies, and they're in charge of the children as well, and the babies. The children only have charge as is given to them by the parents. But it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." And it says that twice. "Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." You know, as God is commanding the children to obey the parents, at the same time He's obeying the parents, be cautious. Be cautious in how you raise them. Be cautious what you teach them, and how far you push them. But bring them up, He says, in discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's no callback between that. There is discipline in the lives of all children. How many of you children think discipline's good? Okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 6, 7. Okay, that's not bad. Came out with 7. Discipline is good. Discipline's not always happy. Discipline's not always pleasurable. But discipline done in love and care is always a good thing. Psalm 34. You don't have to turn here, just again listen. And that's what it says. "Come, O children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is in Psalm 34, 11 through 16. Come, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires to live long and many days that he may see good? How many of you children would like to live long? Is there some of you who don't want to live a long time? How many of you adults want to live a long time? There are some of you that may not want to live a long time either. Okay. Well, it says if you do want to live a long time, to listen to him, to listen to God, to listen to the teacher. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil. Don't say evil and bad things, and your lips from lying. Children aren't supposed to lie. Neither are adults, by the way. They're not supposed to lie either. Turn away from evil and do good. What does that mean, turn away from evil and do good? It means exactly that. If you're looking evil square in the eye, like this, looking evil in the eye, and I go, oh, that's evil. And then I turn away from that. Turn away from the evil. When you know something's bad and you start thinking about doing it, then that's evil. Turn away from it, says the Word of God. Seek peace and pursue it. And then he says this, the eyes of the Lord are toward or for the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. God loves people that listen to him, that obey him. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory of them from the earth. And then in Psalm 78:1, it says this. Again, I want your children to listen, because this is all for children. This is what it says. It says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. We sing this. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from the children. This is for the adults, probably more here. You are not to hide them from the children, from the grandchildren that God has put in your life, but to tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and of his might and the wonders that he has done. He commanded our fathers to teach their children. This is God's command for you, the people of the church. And we do this. And then in Proverbs, and it says my son here, but this would be my son or my daughter, it could mean as well. Proverbs 6, 20 and 22, it says, my son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And the word forsake means to turn away from, to put it aside, to not pay attention to your teaching of your mother there. But it says this. It says, bind them to your neck always. Bind them to your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Kind of like the tie that I'm wearing here. Take these teachings that your parents and straighten them out and hold on to them. Put them in your heart. Listen to them and remember them, because I want to remind you, your parents love you in all things, even sometimes when you don't think so. It says, when you walk, they will lead you. That means when you live your life, your parents will lead you. When you lie down, or these teachings that are teaching you, they will watch over you. And when you are awake, they will talk to you. It's important for your children to understand that you have a calling in Christ, and you have responsibility, and you have accountability, even though you're little. You have been given something to do. Proverbs 23 says in 22 through 25, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And then he goes on and says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son, let me add in here, or daughter, will be glad in them. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. That means you children are to live your lives as best as you can, not just to please yourselves, but to please your parents. And in doing this, you please God. And let me go lastly to this little one in Deuteronomy 5:16 through 22. This is part of the stuff that we read in the Ten Commandments. It just reads a little bit differently here. And I'm only going to read part of this. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And then he gives us these other commandments. These are for the children and their children and their children. These are for the adults. Children are to honor their mother and father, and adults are to honor their mother and father as well. But that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. God has blessed you, children, in this congregation. He has put you in families that love you. He has put you in families that care that you grow up knowing the things of God. That care that someday in your life you will understand the teachings and the sermons that you have heard from some of you from your birth onward well enough that you will understand them through the work of God, that you will too become Christians. But until that time, you have a duty put before you to obey the things your parents have done for you, or they give to you, that they tell you to do, knowing that God has entrusted them, or trusted them with your care. For the congregation, real quickly, I just remind you that you also, and I mentioned at the beginning, have a duty to these children. Now, your duty is not to discipline them necessarily. That's not everybody's duty. That's the parents' duty. Your duty is to encourage them. To encourage them, not to just to talk about the color of their sparkle t-shirts and stuff, but to ask them sometimes, have you been praying? Do you pray? What do you think about what Jesus said here? What do you think about Jesus? To encourage them in their walk with God sometimes. Your duty, if you are not the parent of a child, or if you are a parent of a child, is to be praying for every one of the children in this congregation. We pray for each other when we're sick. We pray for each other when we're going through times without jobs. But sometimes we act like, well, it's not my job to pray for the children. But it is. And it's your job to pray for the children. Because we have to remember, as the Word of God teaches us, they're not Christians just because they come to church or just because they've been baptized. They become Christians as they hear the Word of God, and they become Christians as we beseech God in prayer on their behalf. That is our duty to them. So I want your children to listen to what I've said today, to pay some attention to some of it. You have a duty and you have a responsibility. Your first duty is to your God, to come to the place where you recognize your own need for a Savior. Your second duty and your primary duty in this life, as we see it, is to live under the headship of your father and mother, to learn how to be obedient children, and not to fight them at every corner, which some children do sometimes. And I want to encourage you children to really pray about that this week and ask yourself, am I the kind of child at this point in my life that Pastor John has talked about, or that the Word of God talks about here? Are you children who obey your parents in the Lord because this is right? Are you children who obey your parents in everything because this pleases the Lord? I want you all to think about that this week. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the children in this church, and we thank you quite often for them, being reminded that for so long we didn't have any children in this church. We thank you, Lord, that they are able to come here with their parents each week, that in spite of sometimes their lack of willingness or desire, that they are obliged to sit through and hear the Word of God, to sing the Word of God, to recite the Word of God along with us, that they have learned the Ten Commandments, that they have learned that they can't be saved by the Ten Commandments, but there are still commands that are before us, that they have learned how to pray. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that I have seen in the lives of each one of these children in different ways, but pray, Lord, that you will bring that all in good course of time to the place where each one of them here would be able to make a true and strong profession of their faith in you and their love for you. Lord, we pray that you will help them to be more obedient to their parents, not unwillingly, but gladly doing so, knowing that their parents love them, that they care for them, that they know what's right for them, and that they are telling them to do the things that they tell them to do because they have reasons and they're trying to teach them things. So we pray, Lord, as we know that children are sometimes stubborn in heart and rebellious in nature, as we as adults deal with this as well, we pray, Lord, that you would break through that stubbornness and break through that rebellion. Lord, that you would allow them, if for no other reason than it pleases you when they're obedient, to be as obedient as they're able. And I pray, Lord, that you will keep bringing this back to their minds, that it will not be just something they hear that comes and goes, but, Lord, that you will bring it back again and again. And, Lord, I pray for the parents here that you will continue to help each one of them to raise their children in such a way that is pleasing and honoring to you, where they are spending time daily in your Word and considering these things, where they are spending time regularly as families praying and lifting up those things that you bring to their heart. And Lord, we pray for the congregation will hold that each one of us would be remembering the children individually in our prayers and lifting them up before you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you have given us in them, and we pray that we would see great and wonderful results in due course of time. And we do this in Christ's name. Amen.